If you have your Bible with you, go ahead and find with me Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, and just hold your place there for a moment. We'll come back to it, but you can go ahead and find your place there. I do want to mention to the parents, if this afternoon your children have you racing around looking for banners or happy birthday banners for your homes, that's a good thing, but if you've already got a day packed and you wake up tomorrow and you think, what was that about, do not call the church office. Call 1-800-JANE-BUFKIN, and she will help you. In fact, she will help you find that happy birthday banner. I think that's a great idea. I really do. I love that idea. Along with everything Pastor Kevin said coming up, as we near the end of the year, it's easy to just sort of say, well, I'll just wait till the first of the year to get ready for this or to sign up for that. So don't forget those things coming up. Also, the second Sunday in January is our next scheduled baptism at First Baptist Church. If God is leading you to be baptized, you think it's time for you to follow through in believer's baptism, get in touch with me or Pastor Kevin, and we'll help you get plugged into that. Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Pastor Kevin made much of that. He's absolutely right. The mailbox at the back, the postage you put in there goes toward our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal, and you pick up your cards and you drop off cards for church family that you want to distribute. So rather than mail them, you can drop them in the post office back there, put the postage in for that. And so much going on in January. The short thing for me to say is to register, sign up. Go to our website. Do it this afternoon. Find out about all those things and get signed up and ready for those. And as we wrap up the new year, Kim and I will be taking some time off. We will see you again in 2025 after today. Pastor Kevin will be preaching Christmas Eve and next Sunday morning, so be here for that. He shared with me what God's put on his heart, the word of God to bring. You're going to be blessed so much in that. And I hate we're going to miss the Christmas Eve service. Love that we continue that tradition. Bring your families. You know, when we started that tradition, now I don't know how long ago we started our Christmas Eve services, we would have maybe 50 people or so. Within about 3 or 4 years, we were up to a couple of hundred people. It is a blessing. It's a great tradition. It's a wonderful service, and I appreciate all of our folks that work so hard to make that happen. And this morning, we're going to share in the Lord's Supper, just as you will again do on Christmas Eve, but as part of that very special communion candlelight and carol service then. But this morning, we bring together those parts of the gospel message, the birth of Christ at Bethlehem, for the purpose of going to the cross and him rising from the grave. And then together at the end of the hour, we'll share in that in the Lord's Supper, as we underscore that the reason Christ was born into the world was so he could die on the cross for your sins and my sins, and God raised him from the grave. In 1962, two missionaries just starting their ministry, Don and Carol Richardson, left for Indonesia. They were assigned to reach an unreached tribe called the Sawi tribe in Indonesia. And when they came to Indonesia, they met the leaders of the Sawi tribe, they got settled in, they were a young couple with a new baby and new in ministry, very excited. And they started sharing the gospel almost right away, sharing what God has done for us in Christ with the Sawi people and the Sawi tribe. And they were shocked to find out when they told the story of the gospel message of the life of Christ, of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, they were shocked to find out that the Sawi people would cheer in their language when the story of Judas was told. And he inquired about that and found out to the Sawi tribe, treachery and betrayal is a virtue. To them, Judas was the hero of the story. And the Richardsons could not for the life of them figure out how to change that perspective. And they told the good news of the gospel and they shared it with the people and they shared Christ with people. But over and over again when they told the whole story of the gospel, the Sawi people would cheer for Judas, the treacherous betrayer, the hero of the story. And then something unusual happened. Something extraordinary happened. One day, a man showed up from another tribe holding a baby boy, and he handed that baby boy over to the leaders of the Sawi tribe. And Don Richardson was astonished by this. What could this possibly mean? And in their language, he learned more about it, and he found out that there's a tradition among the Sawi people and all the tribes around them in Indonesia, a tradition called the Peace Child. That whenever there are warring factions or warring tribes, one tribe can initiate a truce by bringing a newborn boy, the father himself bringing the boy to their opposing tribe, the tribe they're at war with, and handing over that child to the tribe as an offering of peace. And that child then would be raised in this other tribe. And the tradition would say, as long as that child was alive, that child becomes a teenager, becomes a man, as long as that child was alive, there would be peace between the two tribes. Well, Don Richardson right away realized what God had put before him, an extraordinary analogy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he shared now the gospel of Christ to the Sawi people this way. Jesus Christ is God's peace child. God sent his son, God the Father sent his son into the world to broker peace between us and him, because only he could do that. And as long as Christ lives, that peace stays in place. And the good news is, you can't kill him. He won't die. He is alive today and lives forever. And those who come to Christ will have peace with God through Jesus Christ forever. That's what Christmas reminds us of. For everything else we sing about and talk about at Christmas, the point I want to underscore this morning is that God brokered peace with people through Jesus Christ. He did what only he could do, and provide peace with us, between us and him. Now you might wonder, why is it we talk about peace at Christmas? Why is it we need peace with God at all? Well, the Bible teaches that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and that sin continued in the human race, that we are now in opposition to God. Our every act, our every thought, our every action, our every determination, our every ambition operates out of a mindset and a heart of sin. The Apostle Paul would say in the book of Galatians, we are at war, or as he put it, enmity. We are torn apart from our relationship with God, and we are at war with him. And we cannot make peace with God. We can't broker that peace. There's nothing you and I can do to restore that relationship and bring peace with God. So God did it for us and sent Christ into the world, that little baby, into the world to broker peace with us. Before we celebrate the Lord's Supper and sharing that together, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture and anchor ourselves in this to better understand what the Bible is teaching about us having peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and his actions on the cross, because his death on the cross was the cost of our peace. The Prince of Peace himself paid for our peace with God through his life. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking about Jesus Christ to those who don't understand who Christ is. And as he does so, he explains not only who Christ is, but what Christ could do because of who Christ is. The Apostle Paul, a Christian, a good Jewish man also, but a Christian now, found complete fulfillment, all that God promised fulfilled in Christ. And this is what he says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Paul says this, for God, that is God the Father, was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now Paul, knowing the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, no doubt had the prophecies in mind as well, prophecies that point toward the death of Christ as bringing peace and reconciliation with God. For an example, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. The prophet Isaiah says, but he, prophesying Christ, was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities, punished for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We were the ones in the wrong. We were the ones deserving of punishment. But Christ took that on himself for our peace, to give us reconciliation and to give us peace. To the Christian, the Apostle Paul says this is extraordinarily significant to understand, that it's because of Christ you have peace with God. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul says, therefore, meaning it's an established truth, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, you Christian who came to Christ, you were justified by your faith in Christ, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe sometimes at Christmas you don't really think about the significance of that truth. That prior to coming to Christ, you were at war with God. You were in disobedience. You were living in treachery, betrayal, and sin. And you say, well, Pastor Bob, I'm a good person, and I was a good person before I came to Christ. That's not how the Bible sees it. That's not how God sees it. To God, human beings are either being saved or they are perishing in their sin. To God, human beings are either reconciled to him in Christ or they are apart from him in disobedience. There's no in between. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, as Paul says, we just read, you are justified by faith and you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to explore for just a few minutes this Christmas, this morning. Three things I want you to remember this Christmas as you consider that because of Christ, God's peace child, you can have peace with God. Only in Christ, but you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things to remember this Christmas. First of all, remember that God initiates peace. God initiates peace. This is the simplest truth in this conversation at Christmas. God sent Christ. And he didn't wait for us to even understand everything there was to understand about what was happening, the broken relationship, the enmity between us and the Heavenly Father. He sent Christ. He initiated it. He planned for it. He strategized for it. He prepared for it. He prophesied it. Bethlehem would happen, and Christ would come into the world. Any true peace with God, you have to accept it on God's terms, because God initiates it through Jesus Christ. There's not another avenue for peace with God, another person, not another way. It comes about because of Christ. And God initiated that peace the moment Jesus showed up in Bethlehem. Now, for those in the room, and sometimes we have strained relationships, don't we? And for those of us in the room that we say, yes, we are born again Christians in Christ. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ, and we know it. Now, there's a question that stands out at this moment of how does that impact your other relationships? Because you may have strained relationships. Maybe it's with another Christian. Maybe it's with a family member. Maybe it's with a friend. Maybe it's something that just haunts you. It's a strained relationship, a broken relationship. And you, Christian, sometimes sit back and think, well, I'm just going to wait for them to come to me. Aren't you glad that God didn't do that? And if you're a follower of Christ, then should you not also, as the Apostle Paul will say later, mimic Christ? Behave as he does. How does he behave? He initiates reconciliation and peace. You can't dictate how the other person will respond, but you can dictate and control how you behave. And if you have a relationship that even right now the Lord is showing you, it's time. The most Christ-like thing you can do is initiate peace, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Because that's what Jesus did for you. First, God initiates peace in Christ. And second, God defines peace in Christ and only in Christ alone. We read it this way, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. God was pleased to have the complete fullness of God dwell in the character, the nature, the personality, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible teaches that God in this passage is God the Father, and God orchestrated our salvation, and God determined, and the Son of God accepted that he would undertake the limitations of human flesh as a person on earth, but he was never diminished in deity. He was 100% God. At the same time, he was 100% human. And this phrase means that that is the will of God. What pleases God is God's will. And it was God's will that one person ever in history would sustain and live out the fullness of God Almighty himself. And that one person is Jesus Christ. When that baby was born at Bethlehem, he was 100% God. He didn't become God. He didn't become the Savior. He didn't grow and mature into the Son of God. He was 100% God in the flesh, in the manger, in Bethlehem, cradled in the arms of Mary, carried in the arms of Joseph, God himself in human flesh, 100% God, playing with his friends in Nazareth, 100% God, walking the streets of Galilee, 100% God, going to the cross, bleeding and dying for our sins, 100% God right now, risen from the grave. And it was God the Father's will that in that one person, the very nature of God could be known. You know what else that means? That means if you want to know God, you've got to know Christ. That's it. If you want to know God, you've got to know Christ. If you want peace with God, you've got to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. God just made one way. The phrase, it was pleased, also is past tense. That means it is an established fact of history. God will never change his mind. God planned all the time that Christ and Christ alone would share the fullness of God as a person. That was God the Father's will, God the Father's plan, and his pleasure. And it has been that way, it will always be that way, and God planned it that way. See, other religions can claim they are peaceful religions. Now, what they mean by that is that they will broker peace between people, or they will not initiate conflict between people. That's usually what religions mean when they say they are peaceful religions. But what they cannot do is broker peace between people and God. Christ and Christ alone did that. God defines peace as peace in Christ and in Christ alone. Now, in that passage in Colossians, as we read it, the term translated peace refers to the cease of hostilities. The Bible assumes that apart from Christ, you are hostile toward him. You're at war with him. You're disobedient toward him. But in Christ, you have the ceasing of hostilities. And God accepts you back. In the Romans 5 passage we read, where it says you're justified by faith and have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a slightly different word translated peace. And it means now you have full restoration in your relationship. That brings us to the third truth to remember at Christmas. Not only does God initiate peace in Christ and define peace in Christ, God provides peace in Christ. And in Christ alone. Here the key word is reconciliation. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ is reconciliation. The term translated reconcile in the book of Colossians where we read refers to restoring a past broken relationship. See, God created us. He created us in his image. We broke that relationship. So God initiated peace to bring us back home with him through Jesus Christ. God's the one that did that. And God provides that peace through Jesus Christ. No one else and no other way but through Christ. You know, the good news of the gospel is that God did not turn his back on us. The good news of the gospel is that God did not seek retribution for our hostilities. The good news of the gospel is God sought reconciliation. For those who want to come to Christ, you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. When the angels sang peace on earth, goodwill toward all men, why do you think they sang that? Do you think they meant by that when Christ was born in Bethlehem, all the wars would cease because they haven't, have they? No. What they meant first and foremost is finally now available to you, not automatic, but available to every person is peace with God. The opportunity to be reconciled to your Heavenly Father, to have a relationship with God, because of Christ and his death on the cross, Paul says, is what did that for us through his blood shed on the cross. That phrase, reconciliation and God making peace through death on the cross, is different from the other one. This is a present tense, active, ongoing. It means all the time, forevermore, those who come to faith in Christ will have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is constantly and consistently sustaining that peace you have with him. Christ did that for you. The death of Christ on the cross did that for you. And it's an ongoing fact that will never change in history. Isn't that good news? So when you go home this Christmas, you remember that God has provided, initiated peace between you and him so you can have a relationship with him. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, bear in mind, being good is not the answer. Being religious is not the answer. Having peaceful relationships with other people, that's a good thing. I commend you for that. But that doesn't mean you're right with God. The only way to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. Completely trusting him as your Lord and as your Savior. Christmas Eve, 1814, the Americans and the British sat down in Ghent, Belgium, to hammer out a peace treaty for the War of 1812. It had taken 4 months to get to this point, but finally here it was, Christmas Eve. They were at the table. They were ready to sign off of it. I know you know your history, but just as a reminder, the War of 1812 ended in a draw. Nobody won the war. In fact, the Peace of Ghent, the Treaty of Ghent, meant that all the armies got to go home. All the territories were returned to their original countries and owners. All the prisoners were set free. Everybody just quit and said the war is over. The thing about, though, the early 1800s is it takes a while for information to get across the pond, doesn't it? So while they signed that peace treaty Christmas Eve, 1814, January 1815 in America, the war was still going on. And the Americans won one of the most successful battles ever, especially in the War of 1812. In January of 1815, the Battle of New Orleans. They had no idea the war was over. They were still fighting battles, thinking they had won. If you've never come to faith in Christ, I'm here to tell you, the war's over. You just have to accept it on God's terms. You don't get to define what it means to have peace with God. He does that, and he's already done that. You accept him on his terms. The good news of the gospel is he will forgive you of your sins, give you eternal life, give you the peace of his presence in your life and an eternal home with him. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, in a little while I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. And if you have trusted Christ and you know it, celebrate through the Lord's Supper what God has done for you. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So in a moment, the deacons are going to come and we're going to distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper. This is a distinctly Christian event. And by that I mean the Bible teaches when Christians participate in the Lord's Supper, we are acknowledging that we have trusted Christ. We are followers of Christ, that his death is our death on the cross as well to pay for our sins. That's what the Bible teaches. So if you're in this room today and you know you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you know you're not a follower of Christ, you know you've not accepted his death as your death on the cross to pay for your sins, I want to ask you to have the courage to let the elements go by. Let that little bread go by. Let that cup go by. Have the courage and the honesty to do that. Because at the end of the hour, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change that, to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Now, Christians, as we participate together in the Lord's Supper, again, this is a distinctly Christian event. It's remembering what Christ has done for you. So as the elements are being passed, as the deacons go around, spend a little quiet time in prayer and ask the Lord if there's anything in your heart that you need to confess to Him, any sin in your life, anything between you and Him, because you want to keep short accounts with God. Make sure there's no skirmish that's raised up between you and God, and make sure that you have that healthy relationship as you participate in this remembrance of Christ's death on the cross for you. And also, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're not only celebrating His death on the cross, remembering His death on the cross for us, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. He's alive today, fulfilling forever the promises of God. The fullness of God dwells in Him, in Christ. So I'm going to pray for us. The deacons are going to come, and we'll distribute the elements. Heavenly Father, God, how we thank You so much. We thank You for Your grace and Your goodness. We thank You, God, for Bethlehem. We thank You, Father, for Your plan for peace. And that in Christ and His death, we know we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, now that You would move in our hearts and move in our midst as we share in the Lord's Supper, Father. Help us, God, to hear from You. If there's anything we need to acknowledge in our lives, God, show us that we would do that today before we receive these elements today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.